thank the Lord for these beautiful days He's given us. Amen. Good to have Brother Dennis and Sister Lynn with us. And they brought Devin to church tonight. And so we're thrilled to see Devin. That's exciting. See him. He fills up that little seat. He surely does, man. He fills it up. 5 months old, and got big hands, big feet. Sound like anybody else you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand if we would tonight. Go to the Lord in prayer. Remember Sister Erica in prayer. She needs the Lord to continue to help her. This morning they said that she had a good night and probably had taken some steps of progress, small steps of progress through the night. And so we're thankful for that, but she still has a little ways to go here before they're going to take her off the respirator. So let's be remembering her. The Lord will help her and give her strength. Yesterday they put my mom in the hospital at Anderson, so remember her in prayer. And discovered she is having so much trouble breathing, and they discovered she had some blood clots in the lung, and so that's where the problem was. They wanted to get her in and get her treated. So remember her, and be praying for my mom. Pray for Dad. Sun's shining, beautiful days, and he's sitting in the hospital room. It's not a good he just can't hardly handle it. His only consolation is the guest tray that they offer there, $5 for a guest tray for food, and he's making them pay. I'm telling you the truth, making them pay. So remember them in prayer. Somebody else tonight? Yes. Still remember Sister Ray? Said that Sister Catherine, Sister Jeanette, and Sister Fuller's younger sister had open heart surgery this morning. Just remember her in prayer. Brother Adair? Okay. All right, let's remember that family. Sister Dawn? All right. Let's remember that. Brother Bill? All right. Let's remember that. What's his name? I'm sorry? Larry. All right. Brother Jackson? Right. All right. Brother Slot? Unspoken request. All right. Amen. I'm sorry, Sister Amanda. I guess Jerome Johnson. Let's remember Dale Correll. Prayed Sunday morning. And let's pray that the Lord just continues to work in his life. And Steve and Angel, that they've been praying. Steve really seems like he's developed a real hunger for the Lord. And I'd like to see God really move in his life. So let's remember both them. Sister Tricia. Okay. All right. Sister Karen Russell. Let's remember that. All right. Amen. Let's come to the altar tonight. Amen. Let's pray for these needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Wonderful hiding place in time of storm, shelter. Amen. He's a wonderful shelter. This Sister Erica, she's on a respirator and has been now. Today's the fourth day. She's been on the respirator right about now, be 4 days. Doctors told them that they have to put a trach in before 9 days. To save any damage to the throat. And so that's what they're looking at right now. Sometime in the, maybe even today, they're going to do it. Put a trach in, and which just, that's a temporary thing. It's not like it's going to be something she has to live with the rest of her life. But, you know, this has been reminiscent to me and Sister Ruth for some time of when we pastored in Ohio, and Sister Stephanie McCarty, then it's Rose now, she was in a horrible car accident, and she was seriously injured, very, very seriously, and probably more so of a risk than what Sister Erica is today. But I know we watched the Lord move for her in a number of different ways, and I remember we were praying about this, because she is the same thing, respirator. And they told them that they'd be doing a trach in the next couple of days. And so we just began to pray and had the church pray and asked the Lord to move for Stephanie, that she wouldn't have to go through that. And somehow, some way, she was able to, because they usually strap you down, but somehow, some way, she was able to reach up. And she pulled the respirator out of her throat on her own. And what they found was that she started breathing on her own. Without the respirator, she just automatically took off breathing on her own. Didn't have to do the trach, didn't have to put the respirator back on. And from that time, it was just, you know, a matter of time before she improved. But, you know, I know the Lord's able to move on situations. You know, Erica's sedated. She's totally out of it. She don't know what's going on. She don't know what's happening right now. But I know the Lord knows what's happening in Erica's life. And I know that the Lord is mindful of her life, her ministry, and I know God's got a purpose and plan for Tim and Erica. And sometimes when we're go through tough times like this, they need a church to rally around them in prayer and to really let them know that we're praying for them and pray for them until we see some results, until we see some things turn around, until we see some improvement. And so I wonder if tonight, if we could just stand to our feet and let's just lift our hands and let's ask the Lord to move on this specific area, amen, that they would see dramatic improvement in Erica here in the next couple days, all right? Can we pray and ask the Lord to move on her lungs, touch her lungs, and to give her healing right now? Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God, right now, Lord Jesus, would you touch her body? Lord God, would you touch her lungs, Lord Jesus? God, I pray, Lord God, give her healing, Lord Jesus. Lord, she can't call out to you today, but Lord God, we, Lord God, the children of God, can call out to you and seek your face, Lord, and believe you for healing. Believe you for a miracle, Lord Jesus. God, I'm asking, Lord, for a dramatic turnaround. Lord, let us see some major improvement, Lord Jesus. Let them see signs that encourage them. Let them see signs, Lord God, that you're working and that you're moving in her right now, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, let the next doctor report be positive, Lord Jesus. God, let the next x-rays, Lord, God, show the improvement, I pray, Lord Jesus. Move on her now, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Nothing's too hard for you, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you, Lord Jesus. God, we ask you now, Lord, move on her. Move on her and give her healing, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, I believe you're moving now, Lord. Lord, if we could touch heaven tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you to move now, Lord. We need you to touch, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, you're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from storm that rages. Oh, when the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place. Sing it one more time. You're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. Oh, when the waters rise and I run to hide, Lord, in you I find my hiding place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord God, you're a hiding place. You're a shelter in a time of storm, Lord. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you put Erica in the palm of your hand tonight, Lord? God, put her in the palm of your hand tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, would you move for her, Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, you're my hiding place, safe in your embrace. I'm protected from the storm that rages. When the waters rise and I run, find my hiding place.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We praise you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, oh God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for your help, for your strength, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated if you'd like tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now praise God. Brother Adair, I know you got grandkids, but I feel like asking you to pull out a couple songs tonight if you can, brother. Amen. I tell you, it is such a joy to be a part of the family of God. Such a privilege to be part of the family of God. Family, it's good to have family. It's good to have family. But I'll tell you, in a crisis, there's nothing better than the good people of God. Good people of God. We walked into the waiting room on Monday evening. And, of course, Sister Jarvis had taken down all those snacks and that basket. And there was so much stuff piled there in the corner. They had more than enough stuff that's what they needed. Thank God for that. Amen. But it's not only the snacks and stuff like that, but it's knowing that it's cards of encouragement, phone calls, visits, and letting them know that, hey, we're just praying for you. Just praying for you. Amen. Thank God for His family. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. What a shelter. Amen. What a refuge. Brother Adair, come ahead, if you would.
Amen. They were talking about the food. So they've got so much food in there, they're having to keep the other people in the waiting room away. All the little kids are like, you know, picture Sister Rankin's. Ha! She's ain't getting none of her chips. Praise God. But God is faithful. I mean, you know what? You can look at Erica and you can say what you want, but God is still God. It doesn't matter whether she lives or dies. God is still God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him.
That's right.
Job made up his mind that no matter what happens, I will walk on.
Right.
So I turned to 207 in a green book, got home and had a flat tire in the mower. Well, it was going flat and Sheila didn't know it. So I've got angle cuts all through my yard. Looks, ain't nobody. I wanted to plant seeds in those divots. But anyway, I'm raking the grass. And I don't know why, but the three Hebrew children come to mind. Now picture how mad the king was. So angry that they wouldn't do what he said. A sinner king, wicked, created an idol. And he said, you will bow. And they said, we will not bow. He said, you will bow or I'll burn you. I'll kill you. And they said, king, understand this. We know that our God can supply and take care. And he is more than able to take care of us in that. But if he doesn't, and I die, I still will not deny my king. I will not deny my Savior. I won't deny God. It made him so mad, he said, heat it seven times hotter. And as they threw him in, it slew the strong men.
Right.
Now picture this king. He's wicked. And he's looking in there. And he goes, one, two, three. One. Two, he doesn't believe in God. Three, he goes, come here.
Right.
Now the king's visage is changing. His anger is diminishing. He says, how many did we throw in? They said, come on, we threw three in. He said, I see four. And I'm wicked. But he looks like the Son of God to me. Now, he may walk with you through the fire. They didn't even smell burnt.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, everybody that went in the lion's den didn't come out alive. Everybody that went in the Roman Colosseum didn't come out alive. Faithful until the end. You promised your spouse till death do you part. Promise God. Whatever it takes. In the good and bad. A lot of money or no money. Healthy or unhealthy. My foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I am determined to hold on to the end. Jesus is with me. On Him I can depend. For I know I have that assurance. He will not leave me. I like that. The Lord giveth and He takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. We're singing. 207.
Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Oh, tell it to Jesus. Tell it. He is a friend that's well known, and you know other such a friend or brother. Tell it, Jesus alone, and do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sensed that two men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. And you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Won't tell it to Jesus alone. And do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Then tell it to Jesus alone. Oh, tell it to Jesus. Oh, tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. And you know other. Thank you, God. Tell it to Jesus. Sing it again. more you sighing, tell him to Jesus the Lord. Well, and tell it to Jesus. Oh, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend. Thank you, God. Oh, you know other such a friend, our brother. Tell it to Jesus the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The man came to Jesus. Something Jesus said, and I forget now. I looked at it last week. And he said, thou art a hard man. I think it was a talents. He said, I knew thou art a hard man. So I hid it. And Nelson said, he didn't know the Savior. You'd have never called Jesus a hard man. He's the fair man. He's just. He will punish sin. But Christ is not a hard man. It may seem like it, what he does. But understand,
hallelujah.
I reap what I sow. You reap what you sow. People need to see the trial of your faith so that other sinners can say they hung on. He's not a hard man. He is fair, though. And he is just. And I say, John said it three times in Revelation 22. Even so, come quickly. Do you long for his coming? Do you pray, God, come tonight? Do you beg him to, Lord, come quickly. Put an end to it. Because if he doesn't end it soon, will he even find faith on the earth? He's coming. He's coming. In an hour when you think not. When you're not expecting it. Does it happen? Ask Erica. Suddenly, your whole world changes. I don't care what age you are. I don't care how old or how long you've been saved. Are you ready? I didn't ask if you're a member of Bethel.
Hallelujah, God, and thank you, Jesus.
I know it's Wednesday. I understand it. Are you ready? Could you, without praying, stand and say, if I died right now, I'd go? You have to know. It can't be, I'm pretty sure, or I hope so. You've got to know. Because it might be your time. He said, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. I know, I'm rambling. 363. I got my shoe untied, pardon me.
Hallelujah.
Jim White's favorite song, Living by Faith. I love it.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow, sunshine, or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything. All of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love, and from all harm's end, in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow, storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. And from all by faith. Hallelujah.
that He safely carry me through, no matter evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow? Jesus walks close to my side. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. And from all her sins, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Then I'll be yours. The Master so gently lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. And I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Thank you, God. And I'm trusting, confiding, oh, in His great love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Raise your hands and thank Him. On a Wednesday night, give Him praise. He's still the Lord of your life. He's still the master of the sea. He still knows how to calm the waters. He can say, peace, be still, and it stops. What manner of man is that even the wind and the waves obey Him? Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. Most importantly, God, what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, living by faith in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Well, the glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you really have faith? Do you really believe? Do you really believe? Brother Adair said, gave us the words of Job, though you slay me, yet will I trust you, serve you. Yet, even though, no matter what. Can you say that? Can you say that? Is that, do you have that kind of faith? Lord, help us sometimes, right? Man, the car don't start some mornings and some of you lose your faith. Woo. Sanctification or something, right? Amen. Praise God. We're glad to have Brother Dennis, Sister Lynn with us tonight. Amen. It's great to have them home with us. And amen. They just... bring Devin in. My, what joy. What joy. I think I could have got Sister Arlene and Sister Susan to move clear to the front seat if I could have got Sister Lynn to sit up here tonight. They'd have probably sat on the platform. Probably would have. And if I could have just got Sister Lynn moved up here, they would have followed, I'm sure. Man, it's great to have them with us. Tell you what I'm going to do tonight. Brother Jackson, would you get the offering pans? We're going to pass plates tonight.
I feel like we need to help Brother Dennis and Sister Lynn tonight. And let's just, if you would you dig deep and help them tonight? I know that evangelizing, amen, it's sometimes, you know, the expenses, gas, all that, amen. But I'm glad that they're home, and we want to be a blessing to them tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Bill Brim, ask the Lord's blessing, please.
And just give the Lord a good praise right now. Ah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you tonight. I'll tell you what I feel in my heart right now, if it matters anything to you. There's a good atmosphere in this place tonight. Oh, hallelujah. A wonderful atmosphere. An atmosphere where somebody can get help. Somebody can touch the Lord and get a hold of God. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Amen. Sometimes we look at life situations and things that we encounter, And I've been there, and you have too, where you just, the first question that comes to mind is why? Why all of this? What's the purpose of it? Why am I encountering all of this? A week ago, I don't know if Brother David mentioned anything to you, but from a week ago yesterday in Falk, Arkansas, a 26-year-old man and his wife and 3-year-old little baby were out in a little farm boat on a farm pond. And I got stuck on a stump, only one life jacket in the boat. And had that on a little three-year-old boy. And when they got stuck on the stump, he gassed the engine on that little boat and turned it over. And out of instinct, he pushed his wife and three-year-old boy toward the bank. And they were able to make it to the bank. But he didn't know how to swim. If he had just stuck with the boat never sunk. He would have been fine. Because of his inability to swim, he began to panic. And the short story is he drowned. And a 26-year-old boy with a 23-year-old wife and a 3-year-old son who has a birthday this week, going to turn 4. And brothers and sisters, I'll just tell you, when I heard it, because I knew the boy, I just preached 2 weeks of revival there at the beginning of the year and held 2 or 3 kids' crusades for Brother Shoecraft there at Falk. And I knew the boy. He was a good boy, good young man. And there was a lot of questions. And I'm sure in that family and in that church, there's still a lot of questions. That I was on the phone discussing it and talking to my friend, Brother Shad McDonald, out there in Texarkana. And he said, "Brother, after this ordeal," he said, "I was reading about the sovereignty of God." And he said, this man writing about the sovereignty of God said, "God does what he pleases, and he's pleased with what he does." Amen. And I'll just tell you, sometimes we scratch our heads and wonder. But I'll just tell you, I'm not that old. But I've learned just to lay it in his hands and say, "Lord, you know best." Praise God. So I just want to tell you tonight, if you're in this service and you've got questions in your mind, God has not been taken by surprise. In fact, I've quoted it to you before. I know you have. That little picture that I saw at one time with that little writing underneath of it. And it said, "There is nothing that touches our life which is not first sifted through the hands of God." Right. Oh, I want to tell you that whenever it goes through His hands, He takes out everything that we can't handle. Oh, hallelujah. I said, when it's sifted through His hands, He takes out everything we can't handle. And you may come to that point where you're about your life, those sailors out on the sea in Psalm 107. You say, "I'm at my wit's end." But wasn't it Sister Molly in Ohio that said, "Brother David, I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, but I'm praying for more rope." Oh, hallelujah. I just want to tell you, my friend, amen, God's in control. Isaiah, he was probably scratching his head that day. Uzziah died. He'd been a good king. He was the man God put on the throne. But in a moment of foolish pride, he made an awful mistake and ended up dying a leper. And Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah, that's more than a mark on the day of a calendar. Amen. That was letting them know what the atmosphere was in Israel. In the midst of my chaos, in the midst of my confusion, I saw the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I read after Ivor Powell one time, and he said this. He said, "God's revelations, they're like stars. They shine the brightest when it's the darkest." Ooh, hallelujah. When God comes to us. I said, when God comes to us and helps us. Amen. You may not understand it right now, but you will by and by. Amen. I said, you will by and by. Well, one more time, we just raise our hands and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy." Oh, Father, I pray your will be done in this service tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to preach to you tonight from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I might have should have said something about this earlier. But anyway, just in case you're wondering, well, I don't know. What's the best way to say it? Well, I'll just tell you, we're going to have another baby. Alright. So anyway, I just thought you might want to know that. So pray for my wife. Pray for me. Brother Joey, how hard is it to put extra slide outs in those things? And anyway, so I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I'll just tell you, I feel a burden on my heart to preach to you tonight. I want the Lord to help me, and felt this message come on me. I guess it was yesterday sometime, and so I'm just going to trust the Lord with it and see what He wants to do. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready..." Did you hear something about that a while ago? "And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." The Lord will help me tonight for just a few minutes. I want to preach on the crisis of the cry. The crisis of the cry. Now, in order for us to get a firm footing on exactly what Jesus was talking about here, we need to step back into chapter number 24. For we read there in chapter number 24 that Jesus has been informing the Jews of future events that would lead up to His second coming. It's in chapter number 24 where we read about where Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall it also the coming of the Son of Man be." It also says there, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left." And he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." But as we step into chapter number 25, we see that Jesus begins to illustrate to the people the need to be ready, and he does it by using a Jewish wedding. Now, you know, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but the weddings in the Jewish culture of that day are much different than the weddings in our culture today. In fact, I read in some places where these customs even varied from village to village. But there was one thing they all had in common, and that was they all had a bridal procession. And it's this part that Jesus is referring to in chapter number 25 here, my text that I read to you. He begins to tell us about elements of this bridal procession. In fact, these 10 virgins that he refers to would have been friends of the bride. They would have been bridesmaids in essence. And it was their job. He meant upon the announcement of the bridegroom's arrival. You see, he had been away for a few days or weeks or maybe even months preparing for this marriage feast, preparing for this marriage. And it was told that in some cases the day would be set, but the exact hour unknown when he would show up. And it was their job to be ready for his arrival. For they would escort, these bridesmaids would escort the bridegroom to the bride's house where he would fetch her away, and they would go back to his place where they would have the marriage feast. And it was their job. It was their job to greet him, to escort him. And in order to be a bridesmaid, they had to have a lamp, and they had to have a fire burning in that lamp. If there was no fire, they were not ready. If they were going to be a part of this marriage feast, they had to have a fire burning in their lamp. Amen. Jesus, as I said, was using this illustration to show us the need to be ready for His coming. Amen. I recognize the fact that in many places and much of our churches today, amen, the message of the soon coming of the Lord is something that's almost been forgotten by many. But I still want you to know tonight that I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I remember as a boy right here in this church, it didn't seem like we'd have a revival until somebody would preach about the coming of the Lord. I remember leaving the house of God many times afraid that I'd never see another day because the preachers had preached it so that He was coming so quickly that it might happen that very night. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something tonight, my friends. I want to be ready for that day. I said, I want to be ready. As Brother Adair has already so well said in this service tonight, amen, that is not something to play with. I said, that is not something, amen, that you can just treat lightly, for the fact is you don't get a second chance at that. You've got to be ready. I said, you've got to be ready. Amen. I want to point out a few things about these virgins that Jesus refers to, these 10 young ladies. And the first thing that I want you to notice about them is I want you to notice their character. Notice the fact that He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Notice their purity. Amen. Jesus identifies these young ladies as virgins. They were young women that possessed purity in their life. Amen. They had a sense of righteousness about them. Amen. They were pure young ladies. In fact, the only way that you could be a bridesmaid in a Jewish wedding was if you were an unmarried or a virgin young lady in that hour. You could not be a part of that marriage processional, amen, unless you were a pure young lady. Can I tell you today, amen, that if we're going to be a part of that bride, then we still must possess purity in our life. I said, it is still the call of God for His people in this hour to live holy, sanctified lives. That's why we read in Hebrews 12:14 where it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's still God's call. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. I want you to notice that. It says, therefore God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's still God's call. And you know, there's some that reject the message of purity. They reject the message of a holy life. Amen. And in doing so, many feel like all that they've done is rejected a message of a preacher. Amen. Rejected a message from a man. But if you'll notice what verse 8 says there in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 and verse number 8, it says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but despiseth God. Amen. That's what makes it so important. I said, that's what makes it so important. When you turn your back on the message of a sanctified life, a holy life, amen, a life of holiness, you're not just rejecting a man or a movement, you're rejecting God. Amen. Why? He is holy. And because He is holy, He said, you are to be holy. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, I want to be ready for the bridegroom. Amen. I want to have the character that I need. Amen. I want to be living a life of purity and holiness before God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for it. Amen. If we're going to be ready for that day, we're going to have to live pure. But not only do you need to notice the fact that they were pure, but you need to note the fact that they had to be prepared. Notice what he says. Hey, amen. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Not only were they to be pure, but they had to be prepared. And here's where we note the first distinction between these 10 young ladies. For Jesus said, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. What distinguished between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish? The 5 wise took their lamps, or the 5 foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the 5 wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. They all had a sense of righteousness about them, but the fact of the matter was there was 5 that had made preparation, and there was 5 that really hadn't. Amen. John Butler in his commentaries refers to these 10. Amen. He distinguishes between these 5 wise and 5 foolish as the 5 sincere and the 5 superficial Christians. Amen. He said, to the natural eye, the real and false Christian can often look very much alike in some significant areas, though they are very different. Amen. They go to the same churches. Amen. They hear the same preaching. They give in the same offerings. Amen. But there are some that are sincere and there's some that are only superficial. Amen. They've not made the proper area or the proper preparation for that day. Hear me tonight, my friend. If you're going to be ready for that day, not only do you need that sense of righteousness, not only is it a life of purity, but you've got to have the experience to go along with it. The fact is there's some, amen, that come to church, amen, and they know what the church stands for. They know what's expected of them because of what the pastor has preached or what the rules are. But when it comes right down to hard preparation, they've never got that kind of experience with God. You want to know why some come in, amen, last just a few weeks and then they're gone? It's because they never get the right kind of experience in their heart. They pray till they feel better, but after the emotion is gone, after that ooey-gooey feeling is over, amen, they're out the door. Why? Because they never get that experience with God. Amen. That changes the way they live. That changes the way they think. Oh, hear me tonight, my friend. It's not just enough to come to Bethel Chapel. It's not just enough to claim, amen, Brother Brim is your pastor. It's not just enough to adopt the lifestyle, amen, of a movement or a people. But hear me, my friend, you've got to get it in your heart. Amen. If you're going to be ready for that day, you've got to have an experience with God in your heart. Amen. There are some that show a holy purity, but they have no heart preparation. Oh, hear the preacher tonight. Amen. We cannot just take on the trappings of a religious life. Amen. We've got to get Him in our heart. I said, we've got to have an experience with God in our heart. Oh, hallelujah. The fact is, religious people with no experience are as useless as lamps with no light. I want to know tonight, is there a fire burning in your heart? Oh, hallelujah. I said, is there a fire burning in your soul? Amen. I'm not talking about that you have to, sometimes when we talk about getting on fire, amen, we think we got to be running the aisles and jumping and hooping and hollering. Amen. And that's not what I'm talking about. I want to know, is there a fire burning? Amen. You see, my friend, there's many, amen, that come to church and you can tell by the look in their eye. You can tell by the faraway stare in their soul that there's no life there. Amen. I was studying a message out the other day about that man, Eutychus. You remember? He's the one that, amen, that fell from the window of the third loft. Amen. In one verse there, I don't recognize, amen, I never had saw it before like this. Amen. But in that, it says they were in the upper chamber and there were many lights in the upper chamber. What was the purpose of him putting that right there? Amen. Really, you know, I read after some that said that's probably what caused his drowsiness because of all the light. Amen. The warmth from the candles, it caused him to fall asleep. Amen. That didn't satisfy me. Amen. But look at that. It shows the air of Eutychus. Amen. He was in a lighted room. It was not a dark place. The fact is he could not blame it on the church service because there was plenty of light. Amen. It was not a dark place. How many knows that when there's a light on, amen, it's a sign of life. Amen. You go by a house tonight and there's no lights on. Amen. You just assume either nobody's home or nobody's away. Amen. It's a dead place. But oh, I want to tell you, when the light's on, my friend, it's a sign of life. And there's a lot of times I've come to church and I've looked in the heart, in the eyes of individuals and saw no light. And it let me know there was no life. Amen. If you're going to be ready for that day, there's got to be a fire burning. Hallelujah. I said, there's got to be a fire burning in your heart. Not only do you need to look at the character of these ten, but notice the comfort of the ten. For it said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. They were all waiting for the bridegroom's arrival. They tell me that many times, as I said a while ago, the exact day was usually set. They could set it, they may know the exact day, but the exact hour would be unknown. But they say that many times the wedding feast, the ritual of many places was that it would begin at the rise of the evening star. Amen. If that's the case, notice the delay. Amen. Because the Bible said at midnight. Amen. They were looking for it at the rise of the evening star. Amen. Early evening, if you will. But he tarried his arrival until midnight. Amen. The darkness of the night. Amen. At that hour when sleep is the easiest and awaking is the hardest. Amen. That's when he came. There was a delay. And the thing that strikes me about this delay is the fact that all of them, amen, found a comfortable position. Oh, listen to me. Amen. It's important how we respond in the delay. For the superficial and the sincere, it's important. All 10 of them found a comfortable place. If you'd have looked at them, they did not compromise their purity in that delay. There was no change in that persona of righteousness about them. They looked just as clean and pure as they'd always looked. Amen. But because of that delay, it brought about a complacency. It brought about a comfort in their life, and they fell asleep. Oh, the sad commentary on many people in the house of God in this hour is they are asleep. I said they have fallen asleep. Oh, what has brought this slumbering? What has brought this complacency among God's people? It's the fact that we are in that delay, in that time where His delay, amen, or His arrival has been delayed. Amen. I read after Vance Hadner, he said one place, we need to come to church to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. The fact of the matter is we have too many people in the house of God that are comfortable. They're comfortable with sin. Amen. How many knows that we've grown comfortable with sin in this hour? Amen. We've heard so much about abortion. We've heard so much about homosexuality. We've heard so much about immorality that it does not bring a holy hatred towards sin in our lives. You know how you can judge your love of God? Amen. Your love for God is by your hatred towards sin. For the more that you love God, you're going to hate the things that are contrary to God. Amen. Oh, hear me. The fact is we yawn now. Amen. When somebody begins to tell us about the horrors of abortion and the sin of this hour. We've heard so much about perversion. We've heard so much about, amen, the wicked society that we live in, that we've grown comfortable with it until it no longer makes us sick. But oh, hear me, my friend, it's time that we awake. I said it's time that we awake and realize that sin is still sin. Amen. God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates their sin, and He'll judge their sin one day. Oh, hear me, my friend. Amen. It is the virtue of any people that really love God. They will cry out against sin. Oh God. Not only have we grown comfortable with sin, we've grown comfortable with the Spirit of God. Oh yeah, until we can come into a church service and it matters not whether we have a move of God or not. We've become so self-reliant in our day. Oh, come on now. You know it's true. There are many in the church house that have been rocked to sleep. I said they've been rocked to sleep by what? Prosperity. Amen. We live in a prosperous hour. Amen. There's not one of us that has not enjoyed the benefits of the prosperity that we've been blessed with in this country. Even the poorest among us tonight has it better than many did. Amen. Just a couple generations ago. Amen. We're not sitting in a brush harbor tonight, are we? Amen. We're in a nice facility right here that God has blessed us with. But yet with all of our prosperity, with all of that, the fact is many have become self-reliant until their faith has grown cold and weak. Come on now. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. Amen. The fact is, amen, Amos warned against the people, amen, that would grow comfortable. He said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Amen. Jesus warned us of it in a parable where He told us about that rich man, that man that had planted the fields. Amen. He had prospered. His barns were full. And He said, I'll pull down them and I'll build or big, bigger. I'll get it out in a minute. Amen. And He said, amen. Jesus said, thou fool. Amen. You don't even know that this night your soul will be required of you. Why? There's more important things than the money in the bank. I said, there's more important things. Amen. Than the car in the driveway. And the garage you put it in. Amen. I want to tell you something, my friend. The fact of the matter is He's still coming. And what is our attitude? What is our position? Are we complacent in the delay? You see, there's a danger to this delay. And here's the danger. I said, here's the danger. Amen. These young ladies were unaware of how late the hour had grown. Because they were asleep. because they were not alert. It got late, and they did not even recognize it. Oh, you know, listen, I realize in the physical sense, there is a time when we need rest, when we need sleep. But even in that, there are some dangerous times to fall asleep. I've told people before, I've gotten some of my best naps while I was driving. I mean, 5 or 10 seconds of sleep behind the wheel to wake up to be in the wrong lane and a semi-truck coming right for you. When you wake up from that nap, you're alive and very much alive. And in fact, when you get back in your right mind, amen, it's a few minutes and hours before you get sleepy again. I call that a power nap, my friend. But that's dangerous, isn't it? I said, that's so dangerous. And it's dangerous for us to fall asleep in this hour. Ooh, help the Holy Ghost. Now listen, you know me. I'm not a prophecy scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But I want you to, have you been paying attention? Do you recognize the lateness of the hour? Are you aware of the impending dangers there are in this society? Oh, we've done heard so much about terrorism, we yawn through that now, don't we? Amen. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Amen. I don't know much about prophecy. I don't know as much as I should, let me put it that way. Amen. But there are some things I do know about it. And I do know enough to know that any time Israel's involved, we need to pay attention. Because that's where it's all going to wrap up at. Amen. You remember this conflict with Hezbollah just a few months ago, last summer, at the end of last summer? Amen. Great conflict over there on that Lebanese border between Israel and Hezbollah. Amen. I was in meeting with Brother Benny Sutherland at the time, there in Dayton, Ohio. And one day, Brother Darrell Mehta had come in to see his mother. And me and Brother Benny Sutherland and Darrell Mehta went out for lunch one day. And when they got talking, I started listening. Amen. Brother Darrell Mehta, he asked Brother Benny, he said, Brother, how does this all fit in to the last in the prophecy? How does it all fit in? And Brother Benny said this, I'll never forget it. He said, I can't tell you exactly how it all fits piece by piece. He said, but I will tell you this. He said, it's getting that region and the entire world to the place where they'll be willing to do anything for peace. Look, listen to the conflict that we're in right now and the fighting for position with Iran. Look at what's going on with North Korea. Look at all of the chaos there is in the Middle East and even around the world. Look at the fact there are people, amen, right now, amen, that are willing to give their life. They're willing to be blown to smithereens, amen, just to kill one of us. Oh, hallelujah. And then look at the UN, the governing body of this world that's been put in place to take care of those situations. And they're so riddled with scandal, amen, that they are rendered useless, amen, no effect whatsoever. They're so full of corruption, amen, they are rendered useless. Amen, you say, preacher, what does all that mean? It is setting it up for one man to rise to the occasion and say, I have an answer for it all. Amen. Amen, we know that man is the man of sin, the Antichrist. Hey, hear me. I know we've heard about it. Amen. I know we've heard about it so much that it has very little. We yawn. We go, oh, great. Another message on the end times. But I want to tell you something, my friend. It's closer than it's ever been. It's like that little boy that went to town with his daddy. He loved to hear the sound of the bell. Amen. When the clock would strike. Amen. And he was counting that day. It was the noon hour. Amen. He counted there at the city square. Amen. He got to 11. He got to 12. And the clock malfunctioned and it rang out a 13th time. And that boy looked at his daddy and said, Daddy, it's later than it's ever been. Amen. I want you to know tonight, it's later than it's ever been. Are you aware of it? I said, are you aware of the fact Jesus is coming? Oh, I want to tell you, amen, even if you never, young people, amen, get old enough to get out of high school or married or have your own family, amen, it ought not be something that you look at with dread. Amen, it's still the hope of the church. I said it's still the hope of the church. He is coming. Amen. But notice whenever this call comes, this cry comes, it brought a crisis. Look with me, if you will, for just a few minutes. Not only at the character and the comfort of the ten, but notice the crisis. Amen. Notice their sorrow. When the cry came, the five fools did not have enough oil. They recognize the crisis and they cry out for help. They go to the five wives. Give us of your oil. Come on. Now I realize it makes for good preaching to go this way. And they say there should have been, those wives should have had enough oil to give to the foolish. That makes for good preaching. But one man went so far as to preach on the five wise and the five more, or the five foolish and the five more foolish. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to be the most foolish by calling what Jesus called wise foolish. All right? The fact of the matter was, it was not the responsibility of the five to have oil for the five foolish. They were responsible for their own lambs. Oh, come on now. Hey, man, I'm not going to be critical of the wise. Hey, man, that's good preaching. We ought to have enough to give somebody else. I understand. There's other places you can preach that from, all right? Hey, man, for right here, every man is responsible for his own experience. That's why Paul wrote to the Romans and said, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Oh, when we stand before God, it doesn't matter. Now listen, it doesn't matter what the preacher said. It doesn't matter what mama died. It doesn't matter what grandma had. You're going to have to stand before God and give an account for yourself. I've talked to a lot of backsliders. They always point to two things. They always talk about the hurts, and they always talk about the hypocrites. Amen. There's so many hypocrites down there at that church. Amen. They hurt me in the past. They said this about me in the past. But Russell McDonald, I preached him in revival a couple of years ago. If I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 50 times. He said, there's nothing or nobody worth going to hell over. Amen. Hear me, my friend. When you stand before God, you're going to give an account for yourself. You're going to stand before God for yourself. And the thing that strikes fear in my heart is that I recognize in a crowd this size, there may be somebody. I said, there may be somebody. Amen. That somewhere along the line walks away from the things that God, and they will find themselves unprepared on that great day. The fact of the matter is, there may be somebody here tonight. Amen. You may have convinced everybody else that everything's all right between you and God, but all the while, I said all the while, there's areas in your heart and in your life that have not yet been committed to God. The fact is, my friend, amen, why did these five foolish not have enough oil? I call it the foolish virgin syndrome. Amen. They thought they had just enough. Amen. They did not see a need to take any more with them. Amen. They had all that they needed. They were not willing to make any more sacrifices than were necessary. They were not willing to do any more work than that was necessary. They wanted to do just enough. And there's a lot of people in our churches today. Amen. They have that same syndrome. Amen. No more work than is necessary. No more prayer than is necessary. Just tell me how I got to live, preacher. Amen. Tell me what I got to do so I can sing in the choir. Tell me what I can do so I can have a position in the church. I want to do just enough. Amen. But hear me, my friend, on that day. I said on that day, it's not going to be enough just to do, amen, just get by the skin of your teeth. Remember what was wrote in one of the epistles. Amen. Judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, amen, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Amen. But what I want to know is, where are those that are just trying to get by going to fit in at? If the righteous, the one that's good, all they know to do is just barely going to make it. Where's going to be that one that sat on a church pew and said, I'm not going to do no more than I have to? Hear me, my friend, the thing that strikes fear in my heart is there's going to be many on that day that's going to cry out like these foolish virgins did and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he's going to say, I never knew you. They may even say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Amen. We healed the sick in your name. And he's going to say, depart, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. My question tonight to you, my friend, is, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? He came and he wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done it. Then he said, one thing lacking. What is it, Lord? Go sell all. Hey, man, you're only missing one thing, and that's everything. I want to know tonight, what are you missing? Is your all on the altar? Oh, this has been the burden of my heart now for weeks on end. Amen. There are so many people in our churches that are not willing to give God everything. They hear the preacher preach on it. Amen. They may even read it in the Word of God, but they say, no, thank you. I don't want to go that far. There are many in our churches today that are committing the same sin that Ananias and Sapphira did. They're not falling dead at the altar. We're not carrying them out. But what was their sin? Oh, they lied to the Holy Ghost. But what was that lie? This is all. This is the whole price. And all the while, there was something they'd hid away from themselves. I want to know tonight. Oh, preacher, I've given God everything. I want to know something. What about that one thing you've pushed off to the side all to yourself? I want to know what about that one thing. That one area. Ezekiel had a vision given to him by God. God told him to dig in the wall. So what did he do? He began to dig in the wall. Amen. What did he find in the wall? He found a door. God said, open the door. And when he opened the door, what did he find? He found a secret chamber where the ancients of the house of Israel were committing every imaginable abomination. Nobody knew it was there. Amen. It was God revealing the fact that there were secret things going on. Amen. Even in the elders of Israel, they were committing abominations. I want to know, amen, if God revealed to us in this service your secret place, that one place where you don't let anybody else go, that one area of your life you've never allowed anybody to get to. Amen. That's where you come to every time when you're in a revival or a youth camp or a camp meeting. You pray up to that point and God says, I want it. Amen. If you say, no, thank you, and you walk away, why haven't you got any further than you've gotten in your experience? Because you've never gotten past that one issue. Amen. Oh, hear me. Amen. I'll tell you exactly what that one issue is. You want me to nail it for you? Here it comes. I won't tell you. I've told you before. It's that one thing that you get defensive about every time the preacher gets close to it. Amen. You start building the wall. Amen. You put up the defenses. I'm going to tell you, that's what God wants. I said, that's what God is asking for. He's wanting to get that one thing you've not given to Him yet. And it may be the one thing that you love the most. You say, God would take the thing I love the most? Amen. He's not in here right now. I want to tell you something. When I hold that little baby in my arms, he's not so little anymore, is he? Amen. But when I hold him in my arms and my mind goes to Abraham, the very thing you promised me, the very thing I love the most, do you realize that people can make idols out of anything? And Abraham had to come to the place where he said, Lord, you're more important than anything. Even, I know it seems ridiculous, it seems ludicrous that anybody would ask, it's something that the heathen do. Amen. But God asked him. Amen. He wanted to see if he was willing. Amen. What did Abraham say? I'd have called it off right here if I was God, but that's why I'm not God. Amen. Isaac said, I see the wood, I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Amen. Abraham's reply was, God will provide. Amen. Oh, our sense right there. He's going to trust God. Amen. Let him off the hook. No. Amen. He waits till he's tied on the altar. He waits till the dagger's in his hand. Amen. He's ready to plunge it through when he finally says, no, that's far enough. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a ram in the thicket. I want to tell you something, my friend. You've got to be the point to the place where you're willing to give God everything. What's that one thing? I want to know. What is that one issue? You may not have expected this on Wednesday night. It's the burden of my heart. Amen. It's the pain, amen, that rolls over my mind. Day in, day out, are we really ready? I want you to think about it. I want you to consider. What has the preacher preached to you in the past that you've rejected already? What's that one thing God has dealt with you about? For you that have been in church for a long time, you may have to go all the way back to your teenage years when God dealt with you at an altar of prayer. I want you to live this way. And you turned your back on it. You've been a good, faithful member of Bethel Chapel. You stood through the test. You're here tonight. But I want to know if God visited you again and said, now, after all these years, are you willing? Would you say yes? You see, the tragic ending, I'm almost done. The tragic ending of this story is the fact that these five fools, they were left out. Amen. They missed out. But the difference between them and us is that all they missed out on was a party. All they missed out on was a feast. But what are we going to miss out on? If we choose to play with the one thing that comes with no refunds, no second chances, no replay, no rewind, we choose to play with that, what's it going to be like when we stand before Him? You see, I told you about that boy that died a week ago Tuesday. His dad had been praying just a couple years before that. He told his boy, he said, I felt like the Lord dealt with me to tell you, you'll not live a long life. You better make every day count. I want to know, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour. How is it tonight? Has God got everything? For the one that's not ready, that day will be a crisis. But I don't want to leave you there tonight. I want to remind you, for the one that has made proper preparation, that day is going to be a day of comfort. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, I said that day will be a day of comfort. For the child of God, the sound of a trumpet will be the signal of triumph. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what kind of comfort it is. You know me. You know my story. You know me better than any people in this world knows me right here. That day, March the 4th, 1988, when my mom came back in and the cars rolled in with her, we come running out of my neighbor's house, and she had to tell me and my little sister that Daddy wasn't coming home. What a terrible day. I'll never, Brother Adair, I'll never forget. I can still recall it as vividly as if it was yesterday. One of those days that I just choose to let God take care of. I don't understand it all. But there's one thing. God brought this back to me the other day. I'd forgot about it. Amen. But that evening, and the family and friends had gathered in, I remember the outpour of love that came from you people right here. Couldn't find an empty spot on the kitchen table or the counters anywhere. Food everywhere. People everywhere. In the middle of all of that going on, I got my Bible, just a 10-year-old boy. And somehow I opened it up and it fell open to 1 Thessalonians 4. Amen. And I began to read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, around verse number 13, where the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When we walk out to the graveyard and we lay those loved ones down, oh, hallelujah, we don't do it like they do it out there. Amen. When they lay them in the ground, they have no confidence that they'll ever see them again. But we saw not as those that have no hope. Oh, hallelujah. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen, in that little 10-year-old heart and mind of mine, amen, I didn't need the theologian to explain that to me. Amen. If I believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. He's not given that responsibility to anybody else. He's reserved it for Him and Him alone. Amen. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And here's the part. I still remember it. that night. Amen. That God, I've never forgotten it from that night where it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hear me, my friend, for those that are ready, it'll not be a crisis. It'll be a comfort. Hallelujah. I said, for those that are ready. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Sister Bell, amen. Brother Bell was sown in weakness, but he's going to raise in power. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I said, it's not a crisis, but it's going to be a comfort. I said, it's not a crisis, but it's going to be a comfort. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for it. I said, thank God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be ready. Don't you? I said, I want to be ready. Hallelujah. I want God to have control of everything. I don't want there to be one thing. I said, I don't want there to be one issue. Amen. That stand between me and that great day. For on that great getting up morning, fairly well, fairly well. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like telling you tonight. Amen. Ray, lift up your heads. I said, lift up your heads. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Look up. Amen. Our redemption draw nigh. Oh, hallelujah. I don't look at it with dread. I don't look at it with fear. I don't look at it with sorrow. I know we got lost loved ones. I know there's those that are out of the ark of safety. Amen. But even so, Lord. Even so, Lord, come quickly. You're a sovereign God. You know what you're doing. I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to live for you like there's no tomorrow. I'm going to serve God with everything that's within me. Stand all over the house, raise your hands. Let's ask God to have His way. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Whoo. Oh, hallelujah. Whoo. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. He's coming back with a shout, church. it's not going to be a signal of sorrow. Amen. It's going to be a signal of triumph. Woo, hallelujah. One man said there's only three places in God's Word where we read that He shouted. The first time was at Lazarus' tomb. The Bible said He cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. One man got up. Ooh, hallelujah. The next time we read where God shouted, amen, Jesus was on the cross. And the Bible said He cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And there were many that were seen risen from the dead in the streets of Jerusalem. Amen, several got up that time. Amen, but the third time we read where God shouts in the New Testament, it's found in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. And this time when He lets out that shout of victory, it's not going to be one man that gets up. It's not going to be a select few. Amen. It's going to be every one of us. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Graves are going to burst open. Amen. I said graves are going to burst open. Amen. They're going to raise. Amen. With resurrected bodies. But it's going to happen so quickly, we won't even notice the delay. Amen. We're going to be right behind them. Ooh, hallelujah. You may be here. You may be pre-trib. You may be mid-trib. Amen. You may be a post-toasty. Amen. But I want to tell you something. When we all get to the tops of the trees, we're going to see it eye to eye. Ah, hallelujah. I don't know how you're feeling. Oh, I feel like shouting a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. Shout until I hear Him shout. Amen. Then we'll shout together. Hallelujah. Oh, I said shout till He shouts, and then we'll all shout together. Praise God. Amen. Worship Him. Amen. Through the endless ages. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go. Don't you? I said, I want to go. If I was in this house and there was one thing I was holding back from God, I believe I'd just lay it on the altar. I think I'd just say, here it is, Lord. You can have it all. I just want to be ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. You're here tonight. I just preached to you how the Lord has been burdening my heart. I want to know, is there somebody in this house? You say, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Amen. It's between you and God. Amen. You say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. There's something that I've yet to give God full control of. And I'd like to take care of that on this altar right here tonight. Anybody raise a hand right now quickly. Young, old, anybody in between, God bless that hand. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? He'd say, preacher, there's something I'd like to take care of on this altar tonight. All right. I ain't going to hold you long. Anybody here tonight? And you've been sorrowing. And your sorrow has been like that one who has no hope. And you say, preacher, I'd really like the Lord to bring some comfort to my heart tonight. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the comforter. He's our paraclete, the one called alongside to help. You'd like God to bring some comfort and help to you right now. Raise your hand. I need the Lord's help. All right? All right? God bless you. Anybody else? I got one more question for you. Anybody in this house besides me feel the Holy Ghost? Whew. I don't know whether to take it come and pray or come and stand and worship. I just know I won't be ready. Whoo, hallelujah. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to turn you loose, let you do it however you feel like doing it. But I want to give God everything. I want Him to know, hey man, He's the Lord of my life. And I'm ready to go. Come on, saints of God. Sister Ruth sings for us.
I pray we'll all
hallelujah.
Be ready.
Oh, hallelujah.
I pray
thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty touch.